We began the week with the great solemnity of Christ the King, a celebration of and a reminder of the end, the triumphant end, when God will be all in all. And we know that all week we have been reflecting on a kind of ending, reading from the book of Revelation, the later chapters, and reading from the chapters of Luke, or the last chapter of Luke before the Passion account. So by now we kind of have an expectation. In fact, you might be afraid to open, your Anuam Way these days, because every day we get another striking and sometimes frightening passage. Although I've been trying to emphasize myself that there's always two aspects to the end. There's the, say, sorrowful part, the upheaval, the losses, the disappearance of things that are familiar. And then there's the joyful part, or you say glorious part, where a new heavens and a new earth are established, and glory shines on all those who are found worthy. So there's always two sides to it. Well, today's first reading doesn't disappoint. It's again a passage with lots of imagery and lots of turmoil. There's a dragon being chained up, and there's thrones and scrolls and, I don't know, pool of fire, all these things. And then at the end, the New Jerusalem, which is compared to a bride adorned for her husband. So again, like we had at the end of yesterday's reading, the image of our wedding feast, which is the most positive image we can use in this world. That's why movies, when they want to end on a positive note, they end with a wedding, because that's like the best good news. So we have again this message that everything is going to be sorted out. It's like the parable where Jesus says there's going to be separation of the sheep and the goats, and the sheep are going to shine like the sun, meaning they'll get a reward far beyond whatever they could even have imagined, and the goats will be destroyed, suffer forever. So this is a symbolic way of saying the same thing. This is meant to be an encouragement to us. It's not supposed to frighten us or even disturb us. We're supposed to be, and we should be, happy that evil will be destroyed. Happy that God will reign, that the serpent will be chained up, that the martyrs will be rewarded, that the wedding feast, which we long for, will actually take place. Now, we're not going to get the image of the wedding, because tomorrow is a feast of St. Andrew, so we're not going to read from Revelation anymore. In fact, this is something like the last ordinary day of the year. Tomorrow is a feast day, and Sunday is the beginning of Advent. But it's clear enough by now. There's something extraordinarily beautiful about this, even though a turmoil takes place. This passage from Revelation is one of the main sources of our doctrine of the final judgment. We know that when we die, we're judged. Everybody who dies is judged. But at the end of time, there is a final judgment, when it will be made clear to everyone what everybody did, and God's justice and mercy on everyone will be revealed. That's the opening of the scrolls. Everything will be uncovered. And we'll see how good God is. And we'll sing how wonderful are his works. Okay, so I'm not going to dwell on that, because I think we've been covering that. But when we get to the gospel, we are given a little surprise. I said yesterday that yesterday's gospel overlaps with this upcoming Sunday, and tomorrow's gospel, if we didn't have a feast day, would overlap with this upcoming Sunday. But today's gospel is the part that gets skipped over on Sunday, first Sunday of Advent this year. It gets skipped over because it doesn't seem to be about the end of time or the beginning of the reign. It's a surprising parable because Jesus says, after talking about the sun and the moon and the stars being destroyed and everything being wiped out, he says, now consider the fig tree and all the other trees. He goes from the dramatic, even violent, to the most simple image of a tree bursting with buds in the beginning of summer. Kind of mild, in fact, kind of ordinary. As if he's saying, all these images of death and destruction and upheaval are ordinary. This is just the normal process. Just like trees in the early summer produce buds. That's the way it is. Now, we would expect him to use the image of a fig tree having borne all its fruit and having all the fruit harvested and then the tree get cut down at the end of the year. That's what we would expect because that's the kind of thing he was saying. But he doesn't say that. No, he says this is like summer. This is like when we're still looking forward to the fruit. And when you see the buds on a tree, you know, summer is near. And in the same way, when you see all these things happening, meaning all these disasters, well, then you know the kingdom of God is near. Now, I'm from a place where the seasons are so clearly defined, and summer is a very distinct period of time when trees start to blossom or start to bear their early stages of their fruits, and then in the autumn or the fall, there's a harvest, and then after that, everything falls off the trees and they look like they're dead. Here in a tropical country, some trees have that kind of a cycle where they just bear their fruit at a certain time of year, but some trees, they bear fruit all the time. I mentioned the atis the other day. I could think of bananas or I don't know. Some trees just seem to bear fruit all the time or at any time. And so that's a different imagery, but it's a helpful one because Jesus says, when you see these things happening, meaning all these tumultuous events in the cosmos and in this society, wars too. He said, when you see all these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is here. Well, they're always happening. Just like the atis is always bearing fruit. Well, they're always happening. In every age, there are wars and famines and earthquakes and storms. So what are we supposed to say? Well, the kingdom of God is always near. The kingdom of God is always near. Is it the end of time? Nobody knows that. Jesus himself said it. Nobody knows it. Well, then how can we know if it's near or not? Well, because the signs are always here. Now, why does that happen? So that we will be ready. Now, that's the theme of next week, of Advent in particular. But the beginning of Advent is, okay, get ready. Be ready all the time. Don't waste all your time in carousing and drunkenness, but be ready. So well, that's the passage. But these things happening are always happening. Then he says this, and this, some of the lines from this gospel might sound familiar because we heard them in Mark's version just two Sundays ago, 33rd Sunday, when he also mentioned the fig tree, and he also mentioned this thing about this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Very puzzling thing, because the generation he's talking about died centuries ago, 2,000 years ago. So they didn't take place, as far as we can tell, and the sun and the moon and the stars are still where they belong. Well, then we have to stretch our interpretation and say, well, maybe he didn't mean the sun actually falling out of the sky. Maybe he meant that upheaval in reality, and what he was pointing to was his own death and resurrection, which changed everything, right? Once Jesus dies and rises again, the kingdom of evil is completely destroyed. The serpent is chained up. You don't need the sun, the moon, and the stars. You don't need any other guides to interpret reality, because Jesus Christ himself is the Son. He's the bridegroom. He's ready now for the welcoming of his bride. So that's part of what this is referring to. So, how do we get ready for a wedding? Well, if we're guests, then we have to accept the invitation. But if we're the bride, we have to do a lot more preparation. It says at the end of the first reading that the holy city is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It takes a long time to prepare a bride. Well, that's the stage we're in now. We're being prepared and preparing the way a bride prepares. And compared to a wedding, there's lots of details. But the entire focus is on that wedding day. How the celebration will be done, who will attend, what she'll wear, how she'll do her hair, and all the flower arrangements and all these different things. Well, those are all signs to us of the totality of the preparation. Don't leave anything uncovered. That's life. We want to be entirely given to the bridegroom. We want to be entirely ready for the coming of Christ the King without anything neglected, our whole life. So we reject not just some sins, all sins. We prepare not just our religious life, but our whole life, all our relationships, all our use of time, all our use of money, all our possessions. We put everything in order, in honor of the one who is coming to wed us and reign over us, because we know he wants us to reign with him.